to that, that for the rest of your life, you will serve the Lord. Look, somebody tell him, I'm going to serve him for the rest of my life. Yeah. Been so good to me. Yes, he set me free. Can I get a witness? So that's what I want to talk about right now. Been so good to me. Okay. Siri just asked me, do I want to be free? I'm not talking to you today. Amen. Amen. Well, we praise God for all of you today. We are in our freedom series still. Amen. And last week we started talking about a subject matter that I believe touches each and every one of us. Whether we want to admit it or not, we all have been affected by the spirit of bondage. I'm going to read just the one scripture this morning, which is already on the screen. You heard the entire scripture text from the ministers this morning. I'm just going to focus in on verse 15 today. It says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen? Look at somebody and tell them, I've been adopted. Say it like you mean it. Say, I've been adopted. Now, if you understand money, and somebody who is very, very rich comes to you and say, Diane Strayhorn, I'm a multi-billionaire and I want to adopt you into my family. You will have all the rights and privileges of all my kids. Everything I own, you own. Everything they get, you get. How would you feel about that? Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Kyle, they come to you and they say, you know what? I got billions and billions of dollars. I want to adopt you and my family and I want to put it all in your hands. How'd you feel about that?
Yes, Daddy.
Yes. He said, yes, Daddy. Amen. 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 How would you feel? Somebody adopted you into their family. And now your life has been changed forever. Well, how many of y'all know if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's exactly what happened. God said he owns it all. He owns everything. And there is nothing that's here that's not already his. That's where you've been adopted into, by the spirit of adoption. And now we call God Father. Amen. Not Elohim, not Jehovah God. You can still call him those names. But Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father, acknowledge where he is, which art in heaven. Hallowed will be thy name. Then you start asking Daddy to do some stuff. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now you just told your daddy to do an exchange program. Everything in glory, Lord, I want to see it revealed and manifested here on earth. We got to truly understand what the spirit of adoption really means. Once we've been adopted into a family, then you have to understand the power of the family. Amen. I got a lot of benefits on the name of Strayhorn. They would say, that's Willie's boy. I say, yes, I am. Because my daddy had a reputation. He knew a lot of people around the city. He done a lot of great things around the city. And because I'm his son, I can go around the city and people would know. And he would tell me, don't mess up the name. Can I help somebody right now? Don't mess up the name. Why? Because in College Hill, everybody in College Hill knew Reverend Strayhorn. They knew Christ Community in College Hill. Amen. Any business in College Hill, if I walk in the door, that's Willie's boy. Yes, it is. Amen. The appliance store, that's Willie's boy. Schwartz Jewelers, that's Willie's boy. Amen. Walk in Bacall's, that's Willie's boy. Back then, it was the Hollywood Movie Theater. Hello, y'all don't know nothing about the Hollywood. Y'all don't know nothing about the Hollywood. Hey, maybe Sister Dorothy do. Amen. Amen. Y'all know nothing about no Hollywood Theater. Amen. But because of the name, things happen. Do you really know who your daddy is? And because of the name, things happen. You know who your elder brother is? His name is Jesus. Call on him, many things happen. When's the last time you called on your big brother? I ain't talking about when you was in trouble just for a good time. Jesus, I'm having a good time. Amen. When was the last time you did that? And so today, just for a little while. We're going to continue to talk about breaking free from the spirit of bondage. Go to slide 2. Amen. Breaking free from the spirit of bondage. Go to slide number 4. We identified 56 areas in which we needed to be free. And the second one was debt. We talked about it last week, which fall under the spirit of bondage. As a matter of fact, there are several other things on the list that fall under the spirit of bondage, like sin, habitual sin, hatred, drugs, cigarettes, jealousy, greed, lust, drinking, social media, procrastination. We all have been in bondage of some kind in our lives. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm getting out today. Let us pray. Father God, we love you in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, as we expound upon your word, open up our ears that we may hear, our hearts that we may receive. Open up our spirit so that our will, not your will. Your will be done in our life. Your will, Father God, not our will, but your will be done in our lives this day. Father God, let us move aside and you use us for your glory. When I open my mouth, Lord, you speak through me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, Father God, use us for your service. In Jesus' name, amen. We have become slave of bondage to various of things in our everyday life. It can be alcohol, drugs, hate, jealousy, or any other thing that keeps us separated from the love and inheritance of God. We're going to use the book of Romans today to look at how Jesus helps us to break out of the spirit of bondage. Amen. Go to slide 6. So what is the spirit of bondage? We read a little bit last week. Go to the next slide. The spirit of bondage is basically anything that keeps you from being all that God created you to be. Hello, somebody. The spirit of bondage is anything and everything that limits your potential. It is manifested in and through any person who holds you back and keeps you from being all that God created you to be. The spirit of bondage is any attitude. Somebody, look at somebody, tell them adjust it. Tell them to adjust it. Tell them to adjust it. Amen. Amen. Any attitude, person, thing, addiction, sin that keeps you from being all that God intended you to be. Anything that binds you, holds you, and keeps you from knowing and doing God's will is the result of the spirit of bondage. Amen. Any form of addiction is the result of the spirit of bondage. Addiction to alcohol, drugs, gambling, lying, cigarettes, excessive eating, gluttony. Amen. 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 I just came back from vacation, discovered I gained 5 pounds. So, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord. Satanic music. Amen. Any music that has negative, destructive, vulgar, abusive, demeaning, sexually explicit, unholy, unwholesome, ungodly lyrics is the result of the spirit of bondage. Amen. If you give me 10 minutes, I'm going to be done here. I discovered that there was a report done in the Post Tribune, and it described alcoholism as an epidemic. According to the report, America's favorite drug is legal. The government has not declared a war against it. No foreign mafia or street gangs are preying on its users, and there is little debate about getting rid of it. But for millions of people, alcohol has a dark side. The commercial shows you the bright side. Any alcohol commercial you see, people are smiling, people are laughing, people are having a good time, there's relationships going on. They're showing you all of that in the commercial, but they don't show you the backside. Abusive relationship. Women getting beat by men who come home drunk night after night. They're not showing you the backside of alcoholism and cancer. They're not showing you the backside. Devil don't want you to see that. He wants you to see the good time. Amen. Amen. The drug we drink takes frightening toll on this country. Experts figure that as many as 15.1 million Americans abuse alcohol. Look at somebody and tell them the church is not exempt. Nearly 88,000 people are killed each year in the United States because someone had too much to drink and then drive their car. Authorities figure that alcohol plays a part in 2/3 of all murder and suicide. Estimates are less exact for the huge number of people attacked, spouses and children abused, relationships that have been poisoned, and after excessive drinking, all from excessive drinking. Curl Robertson and Jerry Robertson in their book, Strong Man, His Name, What's His Game, they say alcoholism is probably the most prominent and popular addiction in our world today. It is classified as a disease by some medical authorities, but God's word does not support that diagnosis. Paul informed us in 1 Corinthians 6:10 that drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The only reason God permits anyone to go to hell is because of their sin. So apparently God considered drunkenness to be a sin and not a disease. So I got some questions. Is there any destructive, sinful, unholy, ungodly, unwholesome thing that you like or like doing? If so, you have the spirit of bondage. I got some questions. Is there any negative, destructive, self-destructive, sinful, unholy, ungodly, unwholesome habit that you've been trying to break? If so, you have the spirit of bondage. Oh, I heard somebody say, well, you ain't come down my street yet. Hold on. I got some more questions. Are you a member of any group or clique, organization, or gang that has ungodly values or that deal in ungodly activities? And do you feel helpless to get out of that group or that clique or that gang or that organization? If so, you have the spirit of bondage. If so, you are captive, a slave to that group or organization or gang. And the only way for you to be free, you have to be set free, released, rescued from that group, organization, or gang by Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I haven't come down your street yet. I still got some questions. Are you a compulsive eater? Are you a compulsive drinker? Are you a compulsive gambler? If so, you have the spirit of bondage. In fact, if you drink or smoke or gamble at all, you either have or are in danger of acquiring the spirit of bondage. I still got some questions. If we are Christians, then why? Why? Why do we want any spirit but the Holy Spirit? I still got a question. If we are Christians, then why do we need any spirit but the Holy Spirit? If we are Christians, then why do we crave any spirit but the Holy Spirit? It's interesting that manufacturers and users of alcoholic beverages refer to them as spirits. Notice that? Indeed, they are spirits, and they don't come from God. Since they don't come from God, they must come from Satan. Why then would anyone want to fill himself or herself with satanic spirits? The spirit of bondage may be called the spirit of helplessness. It is the spirit that causes you to believe and say, I can't help it. I'm coming down some streets now because it got real quiet. I'm only human. Ain't nobody perfect. The Apostle Paul himself apparently had to deal with this spirit in Romans 7, 14 through 25. Listen to what he says. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am what?
Unspiritual.
Sold as a slave to what? Sin. I do not understand what I do. Anybody been there? Anybody ever been there? You ever ask yourself, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Paul said, I don't understand why. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin where? Doing what? Living in me. I know that nothing good. Talk about it, Paul. Talk about it, Paul. No, talk about it, James. Put your own name. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. Get it right now. Paul cleaned it up. Nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. Because in my sinful nature, I can do a whole bunch of stuff that God don't like. Amen. I see a lot of heads nod. Because some of us know in our sinful nature, we done tore up some stuff. Hello, hello. Some of us are knife grabbers. In our sinful nature. Some of us are burners. Set stuff on fire. In our sinful nature. Some of us are cussers. Somebody heard somebody just said, I'm a professional. Lord Jesus. We're going to help deliver you today. Amen. I'm a professional. In my sinful nature, man is known to do all kind of crazy stuff. For I have the desire to do what is good. Amen. Amen. We all have because in our natural spirit, we know the difference between good and bad. We know what's right and wrong. And in our nature, we desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. I know I shouldn't slap Rico upside the head. But in my nature, in my sinful nature, there's been times I want to slap Rico upside his head. In my sinful nature. Thank be to God. Amen. I got a desire. Amen. And some other folks want to slap Rico upside his head. Amen. That's my nephew. Y'all better not mess with me. I can mess with him, but y'all better not. Don't. Amen. But I had the desire. Go back, sister. I wasn't done with that yet. Amen. Hold on. Hold on. But I have the desire to do what is good. Anybody ever been in that position? You want to do what's good. But I cannot carry it out. Why? Because instead of doing the good, you thought about the bad they done to you. And then you start to reason with yourself and say, why should I do good after all they done to me? Right. Huh? And so therefore, I cannot carry it out. Because of why? My sinful nature starts to rise. Now you turn. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now listen, listen, listen. This is Paul talking, brother. Paul wrote over half of the New Testament. Paul was a preacher's preacher. Paul delivered a lot of folk. But he's talking about the struggle that was going on in his own life. Now, if Paul struggled like this, guess what? That's why he wrote it. I don't care how good a Christian you call yourself, there's a struggle going on. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you call on God. There's a war going on. Can I help somebody? I'm going to get to it in 1 minute. It's right up there. You can see it. You see where it says raging war. I ain't got there yet. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is where? Where is evil? Right there. When you want to do what's right, the devil gonna be right there. Oh, it's not a cliche when they show these things on TV and they show the devil on one shoulder and the angel on another shoulder. That's the war really going on. Because he's whispering in your ear one thing, and the Holy Ghost is whispering something in your other ear. The thing is, who's going to win? Who's going to win? When that brother or sister did you wrong, and now the anger raises up, and the devil says, you need to knock them straight into. And the Holy Ghost say, no, you need to show some grace.
Right.
The devil say, forget about grace. They ain't show you none. Then God say, but Jesus died for you. While you was yet a sinner, Christ died. I see some wheels turning in people's heads already. Forgive that person right now in the name of Jesus. Don't knock them out. Just forgive them right now. Because the enemy, here's why the enemy wants you to follow his direction. Why? Because he knows that's going to take you to hell and your life will be destroyed.
Right.
Whole lot of folk in jail because they listened to the enemy. And if he can get you to listen, he can persuade you. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body That's why we can read the word and still sin. That's why we can come to church and still cuss. That's why we can come to church and still steal. Oh yeah, we can read the Bible. Amen. I can delight in God's law. But there's another law at work in the members of my body. Doing what? Raging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. Ah! This is going on all the time, Sister Hope. This is going all the time. There's a, when you wake up in the morning, there's a war going on, whether or not it's a good morning or a bad morning. Some of us know we leave the house determined it's a bad day already. Let somebody say something. We driving to work. If my boss say one word, if that co-worker do one thing, we already, we work, we walk in the door on 10. And dare anybody to say anything, because as soon as I'm ready, 2X, all I need is, you don't even have to touch the button. Just look at me funny. What you looking at? See, they ain't even said nothing. What you looking at? Too many times we allow the enemy to take us places we should not be going. Here's what Paul said. What a ratchet. See, we thought that was a new word, didn't we? Why they ratchet? You call somebody ratchet, to me that means they got a war going on inside their members. That's the way Paul recognized it. He said, what a ratchet. Why is he ratchet? Because of this war going on in his body. Oh, what a wretched man I am. Who? Great question. Who? Lord Jesus. Who? If you didn't believe there was an answer, you wouldn't ask the question. Who will rescue me? Amen. Who will save me? Who will release me? Who will set me free from this body of death? Paul comes out of this whole ordeal and says, thanks be to God. Yeah. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Now notice what he said here. In his mind, he's been released. In his mind, he can be set free. And where the mind goes, how many of you know the body will follow? Where the mind goes, the body will follow. I'm trying to help somebody. Where the mind goes, the body will follow. Amen? The enemy is very good at psychological warfare. And he has convinced so many people that he has control of their lives and that there is nothing that they can do to change it. So we settle for life the way it is. We settle for where we live. We settle for what's going on. We settle for the job we have. We settle for all these things. When God said that we should have an abundant life, I shouldn't have to settle for nothing. You don't have to settle for that man. You don't have to settle for that woman. When God has something better. God has something better for us. The enemy also uses lies and misinformation to lead us astray as well. Have anybody's mind been going on something and then when you get to the end of it, it wasn't real? It was all your imagination. Said last week while we was on vacation, went to a magician show. Said the best way to pull off a trick or a magic act is that you have to have a distraction. I'm getting ready to go home. A distraction, some kind of commotion to keep people from seeing what's really going on. And he started waving this red flag. And while he was waving that flag, he said, I'm going to show y'all how to do a trick. He said, but you got to have a good distraction. You got to be able to distract people. See, like right now, everybody's distracted because she come up here. Everybody look that way. Ain't nobody even looking at me. So I just wait. Amen. Amen. So he started waving. And everybody was looking at this. And he pulled his hands out and he stuffed it in his hand. And when he stuffed it in his hand, he opened up his hand. It was an egg. Everybody went, wow. He said, but what you didn't see is while I was doing this, I was pulling this egg out of my pocket that got a hole in it on the backside. So when I covered the egg with my hand and when I stuffed the handkerchief in there and I turned it around, all you saw was the egg, but you didn't see the hole in the back of the egg. And then he took that egg and put it in this pocket. And he went like this and he reached in this pocket and here come the red handkerchief out of this pocket. He said, but what you didn't know, that's why they come and change jackets. He changed his jacket. Because the jacket got stuff in it already that we don't know. So while he got us distracted with all this, he pulls out that same handkerchief out of this pocket. No, it wasn't the same handkerchief. It was another handkerchief. Eh? Why? Because he's distracting us. Some of us are sitting in church right now distracted. Can't really hear what the word of God is saying because you're distracted. You got all this stuff running through your brain. And the enemy got you distracted so that you don't hear the truth. The devil is good at distractions. He's been doing it for years. Can I go to 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 5? In the spring, in the time when kings, I told you I was going to prove it last week. Here it is. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. Hold on, Deacon Darrell, I'm going to stop right there. Can I stop right there for a minute? Here's the problem. David is king at this time. He's not the little shepherd boy. He's not with his friend Jonathan. God has escalated him all the way to be the king of Israel. He was a mighty warrior. The army belonged to him. Did you not just read? And the king's men and the whole Israel army belonged to him. They followed David in the war. But on this springtime, instead of going to war where he's supposed to be, amen, they destroyed the Ammonites and besieged the rabbi, but David remained in should have been out the war, should have been protecting God's family. God made him a warrior. That's why he made him king. But one evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof. How many of you know the devil will try to take you to high places? Of the palace. From the roof. Now if he would have stayed in the palace, he probably wouldn't have been able to see what he saw. Walked around the roof. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. Still, he could have minded his own business. Because she wasn't on his roof. Can I help somebody right now? Can I help somebody? Mind your own business. Now, you also have to understand that David is king at this time. He's got 300 wives, 700 concubines. So that's 1,000 women at his disposal. Women at his disposal. It's only 24 hours in a day. There's only 7 days in a week. There's only 30 or 31 days in a month. There's only 365 days in a year. That kind of math tells me with what he already had, he got 2 women a day, just about. Yeah. He could have said, go get one of my wives. Could have said, go get 2 of my concubines. But no, David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite? You got to understand, Uriah was the captain of his army. And he getting ready to do one of his captains while he's out fighting a war he should be at? Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, of course, he's the king. And he slept with her. In the sense you thinking, yes. She had purified herself from her uncleanness. But it don't wash off the sin. Then she went back home. The woman conceived, sent word back to David saying, the story goes on. He tries to cover it up. He sends for Uriah. Tell him, come on, bro, take a break from the war. Won't you go and have some fun with your wife? Uriah, a man of integrity, how can I go have fun with my wife when my men are dying on the battlefield? And he went to his house, and the Bible said he slept on the porch because he didn't want to have no temptations to go to his wife. David saw that didn't work. He said, I got to think of something. He called another general. He said, now I want you to take Uriah and I want you to put him up in front. Put him up in front. Well, I know he's going to get killed. They put Uriah up front and Uriah died. David took Bathsheba into his home. They had the kid. The kid got sick. David prayed to God, Lord, don't take my sin out on my son. But the baby died. David had to come to the conclusion, I can't go to him. He can't come to me, but I can prepare to go to him. So the prophet Nathan came in and said, David, can I tell you a story? Can I tell you a story, David? He said, yeah, go ahead, tell me a story. He said, there was a man who had a whole bunch of sheep, had about 1,000 sheep. And there was another man who just had this one little ewe lamb. And the man who had 1,000 sheep went over to the man that had one sheep and stole his one sheep and took it away from that man. David said, that man took that one man's sheep. Yeah, he took that one, and he had 1,000. Yeah, he had 1,000. And he took the one man. Yeah, he took the one man. David said, he should be killed. Tell me who he is so he can be punished, so he can be taken care of. Nathan looked at him and said, you the man. I'm going to preach that one, son. You the man. All because he got distracted, not doing what God called him to do.
Right.
Yep. Can I look at one more person? And then we're going to go home. We're going to go home. I'm going to stop. I got to stop. Jeez, I got to stop. Let's go to Matthew 4, 8, and 11. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this will I give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Now, this is the devil talking to Jesus. He's trying to show Jesus a distraction. Amen. Jesus said to him, away from me, and called him by name. See, some of us haven't gotten that far. We have confessed our sins, but we haven't called out the demon. Can I help somebody right now? I'm going to go home. We confess our sins, but we haven't called out the demon. Get away from me, Satan, for it is written. Now you got to know the word of God to help get rid of the demon. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. If David would have did that, worship God who put him in a position of power and served him only, he wouldn't have had this issue with Bathsheba. But look, after you call out the demon, quote the word of God, it says, then the devil left him. You want the devil to flee? The Bible said, resist him and he will flee from you. You got to call it by name. Alcoholism, call it by name.
Right.
Addicted to drugs, call it by name. And then get the word of God. Greater is he that's in me. Get the word of God. Look to the hills from which cometh my help. Get the word of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Get the word of God. And the devil will flee. But then look what God does. And angels came and attended him. Amen. Listen, even at the age of 12, Jesus was not distracted. He said, I must be about what? In the middle of a storm, Jesus didn't get distracted. He just said, peace, be still. At the death of his friend Lazarus, he wept, but he did not get distracted. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Even at the cross, Jesus did not get distracted. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. My God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He did not get distracted. He said, I come to do the works of my Father. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
Look at somebody and tell them, don't get distracted. Tell them, don't get distracted. Give the Lord a praise. Praise God for you today. It's anniversary time.